Good morning, and truly a happy Mother's Day to each and every one of you mothers from me this morning. What a joy it is to be blessed with such awesome moms. Well, if you have your Bibles, you open with me to the book of James as we continue our study this morning in the book of James. And we are in James chapter 1, verse 21. It says, "Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your soul. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who observes his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself and goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you, God, for your word. And Lord, this morning I want to give a special thanks, Lord, to you for giving me, Lord, the mother that you gave me that was so faithful to give me your word. God, as I read this passage, so many things flow through my mind, God, and flood my thoughts of the things my mother said to me about you, Christ, as I grew up. And God, for that, Lord, am so grateful. God, I pray that you would just feed, Lord, us, your people this morning with your precious word, and that you would minister to us. And it's in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. When I read this passage, I am reminded of my childhood, where my mother would often say, "Are you listening?" "Yes, Mom, I heard you." "No, I didn't say, did you hear me? I said, are you listening?" Hearing is that which your ears are aware someone is talking. But listening means you're actually paying attention. You're listening with the intent to obey. Oh, she was so right so many times. But isn't it true what the Lord is saying to you and I today? It's not just enough to hear the word, but we are those that need to be doing the word. That we have an intent when we hear that we are going to obey. That we're engaged. You know, I'm reminded of the story there of Dr. G. Campbell Morgan, a great commentator, preacher, a mighty tool in God's hand. He had four sons, and his four sons grew up, and they became, all of them went into the ministry. And they were having a family reunion one day at their house, and one of the family friends said to one of the sons, says, "So what Morgan is the best preacher?" And the son looks at his father, and he says, "Mom." How true that was in my house. Still is. Mom is the best preacher. Where would we be without those godly mothers that the Lord has given to us? You know, it's just awesome to see the impact. I think one of the things that I find interesting, and my father-in-law, he emailed me about 6 months ago, a cool email. You know, I'm doing a lot of coaching of my kids and things, and he is a former sports writer for the LA Times, so he's a big sports guy. He knows a lot more than I do. He's always giving me pointers on how I should coach. And, you know, he worked for the LA Rams when they were here in Orange County for 10 years. And so he's got all this history, and, you know, he's a big sports guru. So he emails me this story about, you know, the dad and the son. And, you know, here he is, a little boy, and he's growing up, and dad coaches him, you know, and dad's there, gives him his first ball, you know, in the crib. Mom's thinking, like, what's that? Get the stuff. Dad gives a little, you know, the little Nerf ball, you know, the baby tears apart anyways. But dad's there teaching him how to dribble, you know, teaching him how to kick the soccer ball. And time goes on. Dad's coaching his teams. Dad's there, you know, when he goes into high school, dad's always there. Dad's at the game. He's sitting there at the game. He's watching his son. He's always there giving encouragement, you know. And the boy grows up and he's quite an athlete. He gets a scholarship, you know. Dad's there congratulating him, taking him out, you know, to dinner for a scholarship, you know. Scholarship to a college for, you know, his basketball. And dad's there. Dad's encouraged. Dad's excited. And the son gets drafted into the NBA. And he is so excited, you know. Dad's there. Dad's at all the games. And they make it to the finals. They make it to the championship. And they win it all. And, you know, the cameras come in and they want to interview the young man. And they say, what do you have to say? And he just says, thank you, Mom. You know, isn't it true? Because no matter how much Dad's done, it's Mom. It's Mom that carried you through. It's Mom that's been there. And I just think about, you know, our mothers today. And it's just awesome to know that God is so gracious to give us the mothers that he has given us. And for those of you that your mom has passed on, our heart is with you today as you remember some wonderful things about her. You know, James, I think, really touches a very important point. We're in the middle of a series here in this text. We've looked at for 2 weeks the first part. If you want to talk about an in-depth study, we're doing it. The first part of verse 21. We've been looking at. We want to finish that verse out this morning and really pray that God ministers to us. And I think just our mothers and Mother's Day, and it all just ties in here. We started out with something else that moms like to do, illustrating this text last week, and that was gardening. Many moms, many women love to work in the garden, I think, because all the things they do, and they do so much, that, you know, they like to get out and just have some time to think probably. And so we saw how James really pictures here the Word of God as a seed. That word, implanted word in verse 21, refers to that. That the Word of God is a seed. And that seed is planted into soil. And James's point is, what kind of soil is it planted into? We looked at the analogy Jesus gave there of the parable of the soils, or the parable is called the parable of the sower. And we saw how that there's four different kinds of soils. And we talked about the importance of preparing the soil. We saw that the heart is the title of our sermon last week was The Heart Ready to Receive the Word. And this is part three of that same thing. The heart ready to receive. How do we ready our hearts? How do we get our hearts ready to receive God's Word? Just like you're doing right now. Right now, the Word of God is going out. Right now, I am like a sower that is sowing seed as the preacher, as the one that's communicating the Word of God. As I stand behind this pulpit twice a week, and I've been here for the last 12 years doing that, my heart has always been, and I pray always will be, is a heart that wants to give you the Word of God. To give you what God says, not my opinions, not my ideas, not my thoughts, but God's Word. And so faithfully, I pray that I've been doing that and will continue to do that. And as we hear the Word of God, there's a job we have. I have a job to be faithful to God's Word. I have a job to walk in integrity to God's Word, not to throw in my ideas and opinions where they don't fit, where they're not true, where they don't line up with Scripture. But you have a job to receive that Word. Not as the Word of man, but as it is in truth, the Word of God. Paul says to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, in verse 13, he says, "For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the Word of man, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe." Oh, that's a powerful verse. Again, if you're taking notes or searching for that, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. He says they received the Word of God and they welcomed it, not as the Word of man, but as it is in truth, the Word of God. How many of us think about that when we come to hear the Word of God, or when we come to open the Word of God? Whether that is for study or devotion or to listen to a sermon, that we realize that there is a part we play in being receptive to God's Word. James tells, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. And we looked at that last week, the importance of cleaning out that garden. We pictured it as a garden, weeding the garden. We got to get the weeds out before we can plant the seed. And so we saw that James says, get the weeds out. Get the sin out. Deal with that sin in our lives. Repent of that sin. Turn from that sin so that we might have a garden that's free of weeds. We talked about how the weeds, like the thorns, Jesus said, when the seed is planted, the weeds will grow up with it and choke it out. I shared with you that horrible crabgrass I have in my backyard that just continually choked out the plants. You know, last Sunday I went home and I stared at it for a while after that sermon. There you are, man. And, you know, the Lord really ministered in my heart. That's exactly what it is. And the world just comes in and chokes us out. So we got to pick the weeds out. But secondly, we have to prepare the soil. Now, after you've picked the weeds out of a garden, you have to then till the soil. You have to prepare the soil. I'm reminded of what Jeremiah says in Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 3. He says, "For thus says the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and do not sow among the thorns." Break up your fallow ground, he says. There's, after the weeds are taken out, there's still that hard ground. There's still that rocky ground. It needs to be tilled. It needs to be broken up. It needs to be pliable. Hosea goes on in the Minor Prophets to say in Hosea chapter 10, verse 12, he says, "Sow for yourself righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground." And I like this, "For it is time to seek the Lord." It is time to seek the Lord till He comes and rains righteousness on you. Hosea 10, verse 12. Brothers and sisters, it's time to seek the Lord. That's what it means to break up the fallow ground. We get the sin out. We get the weeds out of the garden. Now it's time to take that heart and break it up. It's time to do something spiritual. It's time to allow God's Word to just be planted within me. That I'm open. My heart's open. You know, to receive the Word, which James says here that we want to receive with meekness the implanted Word, which is able to save the soul. That idea of receiving is the idea of welcoming. I want to welcome God's Word into my life. How many of us today came to church with a heart saying, "I welcome your Word, God"? You know, when you welcome God's Word, you're welcoming God. Because you can't separate God from His Word. You're saying, "God, I welcome you in my life. I welcome you as my Lord. I welcome you to speak into my life. I welcome you to do what you want to do." You could, I think you could say the word "receive" means you could accept. "Lord, I want to receive your word. Lord, I accept your word. I receive it in the point of accepting it." Jesus, when he shared that story that we looked at last week, the parable of the sower, all of us want to be that fourth soil, hopefully, the good ground that bears fruit 30, you know, 60, 100 fold. Well, Jesus says there in Mark chapter 4, as he recounts this in verse 20, let me read to you. He says, But these are the ones that are sown on the good ground. Listen, those who hear the word, accept it or receive it, and bear fruit, some 60, some 30, some 60, and some 100 fold. That idea of accepting, that's what Jesus is talking about, that ground is fertile, that the ground can accept the seed, that the seed can flourish there, the seed can grow there. I told you this is one of the most important studies we'll ever do in the Bible. That's because it's about how to receive the Word of God. This study affects the rest of the studies we ever listen to in the rest of our life. Receiving the Word of God has got to be on the top of our list. And Jesus says, and Paul says, and James here tells us, there's a way you ought to receive it. You ought to receive the Word in a special way. You ought to have a heart ready to accept. You know, that's a wonderful thing about worship. And I want to encourage us to come to church to worship the Lord. I want to encourage us to come to church. I mean, we have some amazing, people that are laboring to lead us in worship. Really just committed to the Lord and really committed to glorifying God in worship. Worship is a place, and I speak of the singing and the songs and the prayers, and it's a place to ready my heart. You know, the world is very real, and I'm amongst and living in the world as you are, and we get very hard. The ground is not always fertile. It is, you know, in need of being broken up. It gets fallow. And we, as believers, when we come to the house of God, it's important for us to open up our hearts. I'm really blessed that we have now the overhead projector and able to follow along with the words and to sing. But even more than that, that our hearts are open. It's a time of prayer. It's a time of preparation. It's time to prepare the soil. You know, it's something we do as well when we open the scriptures for personal devotions. Lord, speak to me. We don't just want to read through the Bible. You know, again, we can hear, but not be listening. You guys know how it is. Moms, you know what I'm talking about. Both with your husband and your kids. You know, when you're talking to them and they're not really listening. Oh, they're hearing you. They know you're there. They know and they're, you know, catch one of your kids, you know, watching TV. And you say, okay, you know, Johnny, this is what I need you to do. There's no engaging. And, you know, even worse, it's when it's, your husband who, you know, you're supposed to have this relationship with. And there's two sides here and there's a real dialogue and engaging. And, you know, those times that you get his attention, it's so great, isn't it? I mean, you get him engaging and wow. But, you know, there's those times it's just kind of, you know, he's busy doing something and you know, they're not there. And, you know, you tell him, okay, honey, I'm going to be leaving. Yeah, okay. You know, he's watching his game or something. You know, and I need you to do this with him. No problem, baby. Don't worry about it. You know, and dinner's right here and I got it all set out for you. You know, you just go in the fridge. Da-da. Okay, got it. Any questions? No, got it. Go ahead. Go have a great time with the ladies and you leave. And then, you know, like an hour later, you get a call. Oh, honey, what's for dinner? What I just told you, it's in the fridge. Oh, and you walk them through the whole thing. Were you not listening? Well, I heard you, but I wasn't listening. Sorry, babe. You know, and sometimes that's how it is, I think, in our relationship with the Lord. That we're hearing the word even now. Maybe you're in that place right this moment. You're just hearing, you know, just kind of like in a tunnel, just this, you know, muttering voice going out. You know, you've heard my voice so many times. It's just like, you know, but and you're hearing and hearing, but there's no engaging. That takes effort. It takes effort to build a relationship with someone. There's times you just don't want to engage. There's just times you don't want to talk about something. And it takes effort to engage in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It takes effort for us to come into church and to really engage and to really receive and really say, God, I want you to speak to me today. I pray that we come to church saying, God, I want you to speak. You know, I come to church praying, God, I want you to speak. And, you know, as I'm preparing the message, I'm saying, God, speak to your people. God, don't speak to them about, you know, my opinions. Speak to your people. This is your word. And you know, as we come and we are ready, I'll tell you what, if we are a church that have hearts that are fertile and ready for God to speak to, He will. He who has an ear will hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. But it takes meekness. It takes humility to just kind of humble myself, to lay down my thoughts and to lay down my, you know, what I'm going to do this afternoon and what we're going to eat for lunch because it's Mother's Day and, you know, what we're going to do and where we're going to go. Or maybe a lot of you mothers, as normal mothers, you really aren't going to rest today. You got people coming over and you got things to do. And we're always concerned about, you know, and especially the moms, you know, because they run everything, you know, and just slow down for a minute and just say, God, I'm here. I want to know you. I enjoy that you've given me opportunity to go to church, you know, and to be a part of a church where the word of God is taught and that you've given me the word. And Lord, I want you to speak. Your servant hears, your servant listens. Speak, Lord. God will speak to you. God will speak to you as he spoke to Balaam through a donkey. I mean, a donkey, well, it kind of is, but a donkey could be up here, you know, and God will speak. I don't know that I'm much better. But God will speak. It doesn't matter who's up here. I have received the word of God. God has spoken some powerful things to me from some people that certainly don't, you know the word like me, or maybe could teach, you know, like I got young Christians. And I can remember in the school of ministry, we would have a preaching class. And so I would teach the guys about teaching and preaching, and then you give them their opportunity, let them preach. You know, and they're up there fumbling around, nervous, shaking. And you know, I remember at that time, God said, "Hey, Trent, this isn't about a preaching class. They're preaching my word. I want you to listen. I got something to speak to you." And so I just do what it says, to just with meekness receive. I want to have a teachable spirit. I think that's what he means by the word meekness, receiving with meekness. It's just a heart that's teachable. Lord, speak to me. This is more than a class. Hey, Lord, you've got something to say. And you can say it right through this student of mine. And he did. He spoke many things. I'm amazed how much God speaks to me through my kids. I mean, spiritual truths. Some deep things God has spoken to me through my young children. And that's the kind of heart the Lord wants us to have. Just speak, Lord. Your servant listens. And that heart that is receptive and receiving. Acts chapter 17, verse 11. We all know the passage when you think of Bereans. Acts 17:11. The Bereans. The Bereans that were more fair-minded than those that were in Thessalonica. And usually this is how we'll quote the verse. The Bereans who were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, because they searched the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. But you know, there's something that I missed when I quoted that. It says the Bereans that were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, because they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures to see if these things were so. I think we missed that part. Many times are eager to search the scriptures. Good, that's great to do. I encourage you to search the scriptures to see if anything I say is so. Is it so? But how important it is for us to receive it first with all readiness. You see, they weren't there examining with arms folded. Let's see, is this so? You know, search. But with all readiness, oh, they're eager, they're excited, they're ready, they receive it. Now they check it. That's wise. That's very wise. Don't just receive anything I have to say. Examine the scriptures. Make sure what I'm saying is true. But at the same time, let's have a tender heart to the Lord and let's receive His word. And sometimes we're so quick to criticize, you know, maybe how someone speaks or how they deliver the word. And we miss the word. We miss the word. We miss what God has to say. We miss it. That childlike faith is what we need so desperately to receive the word with all readiness. Psalm 25, I like what it says there in verses 8 and 9. In Psalm 25, it says this, "Good and upright is the Lord." Amen to that. "Therefore, He teaches sinners in His way." Psalm 25, verses 8 and 9. Hey, God teaches who? Sinners in His way. Oh, great. I'm going to be taught then, because I fit in that category, a sinner. God doesn't teach the good and upright in His way only. Good and upright is the Lord. And hey, the good and upright Lord comes down to the low plain and He teaches sinners in His way. But who does He teach? Verse 9, "The humble He guides in justice, and the humble He teaches His way." How beautiful it is. How awesome it is to know that God will teach you as you humble yourself before Him. There is so much pride in our hearts that hinders us from receiving the word. If you want to picture this morning pride as ground that is fallowed, it's just hard. It's hard. We talk about a hard heart. Just, you know, and how does a seed gonna do anything? You throw the seed, it's what Jesus said, it's the wayside. It's the path. It's just hard dirt. The seed will not, the birds of the air come and pick it away. It's the pride of man's heart. There's got to be a softening. As I pray, as I confess my sins, as I look to God for direction, as I come in, I begin to worship. You know, and one of the things that we try to do in our worship is we try to choose songs, and as you see even this morning, verses that point our eyes to the Lord, that speak of God's goodness, to speak of God's greatness. We try to stay away from songs that are all about us. You know, in this generation we live, most of the songs that are being written are songs that are about us. There's less Lord, God, exalt, magnify, look to you in our songs. And there's more me and I and self in our songs. And you know, our heart is, Lord, let's look. And when we do it, we look at Him. When we realize, God, you are good. God, your mercy endures forever. When we realize that, we begin to become a people who then start seeing God for who He is, and it causes us to humble ourselves, doesn't it? Hey, when I see the greatness of God, usually the response I have is, who am I? And all through the scriptures, when God would appear to people, that's what they would do. You know, Moses, take off your shoes, you're on holy ground. You know, they would fall on their face. They would build altars. They would worship the Lord. You know, they would fall down as dead men. Both Old and New Testament, you see this alike. And they would begin to confess. Isaiah, perfect example, Isaiah 6. Woe is me, saw the Lord high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And he saw the cherubim saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And the whole earth is full of his glory. And it says that Isaiah said, woe is me. Woe is, look, who am I? Who am I? He said, a man of unclean lips. I dwell amongst the people of unclean lips. And he began to repent. He began to humble himself. How important it is for us to come into God's presence. I pray church is that experience for us. But you know, that could be an experience we could have, but we aren't having because we're not coming in and opening our hearts. We're not coming in and being vulnerable. We're not coming in to hear, to learn. I hope that you come to church to be changed. I don't, you know why today you're here, but I ask you to ask yourself this question as I ask myself this question. Lord, did I come to church today because maybe it's Mother's Day, I'm here with my mom, or maybe because it's what I do, I go to church and I'm good. You know, that's great, you go to church. I'm not saying don't. But did I come to be touched? Did I come here to learn? Did I come here to grow? Did I come here to be changed and transformed by the everlasting Word of God? Because that's what it will do. Listen to what James says here. He says, to receive with meekness the implanted Word. That word implanted is that idea where we get the seed. It's the planting in the soil, which is able to save the soul. We come to this garden and we've seen that we need to pick the weeds. We need to prepare the soil. Thirdly, what we need to do in this garden is we now need, after the soil's been tilled and prepared, we need to plant the seed. That's the whole point, right? We need to plant the seed. But what's the seed going to do? The seed is going to change. The seed is going to start with this little tiny ugly seed, go into the soil, and there's going to be water given to that soil. And over time, that seed is going to grow, and that seed is going to bear forth a crop. Some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. I believe based on the preparation of the soil, the seed will bear its fruit. Listen, God is clearly given us these illustrations for us to see our spiritual life. God's word is seed. It's going out. In 1 Peter, if you're in James, just turn one book over. In 1 Peter chapter 1, it says this. In verse 22, I pick it up. It says in 1 Peter 1, verse 22, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth, through the Spirit and sincere love for the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Having been born again, that's what it means to be a Christian, to be born again, having been born again, not by corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Listen, you've been born again. If the seed of God's Word, if God's Word has come into your life and it has been planted in your heart, the Bible says that you've been born again. That means that you're a Christian. That means you've repented of your sins. That means Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life. And I think I speak to the majority of us that have been born again. If you haven't been born again, and listen, you know if you're born again. You know, I think I'm born again. No, you know you have a relationship with God. Your life has been changed. And I'll tell you, one of the greatest signs of being born again is that you're constantly growing and changing and being transformed by the Word of God by the Spirit of God, working through the Word of God. Have you been born again? If you haven't, the Bible says that you call on the name of the Lord and He will save you. And I want to encourage you to do that. You need to know the Word of God to be born again. You need to hear the Word of God. It's a part of your diet if you're born again. Without it, you're going to starve and die spiritually. You must have the Word of God. You must be. Jesus says you must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. He's talking to a teacher of the Word of God in those days, a religious man. And the religious man says to him, what do you mean be born again? I got to go back in my mother's womb and be born a second time. And Jesus says, no. What is born of flesh is flesh. Mean the physical birth. The again part, being born again, is you need to be born spiritually. You need to be born from above. You need to be changed and transformed spiritually. As physically you were born into this world, as you grow physically, as you grow because you eat and it brings health to you. And the more healthy things you eat, the more healthy you'll become. As you do that physically, so spiritually. So in the spiritual things, you must be born spiritually. You must be awakened to the world or awakened to the kingdom of God. As you come forth and are born spiritually, you're born, you're alive now. You're alive to God and you know God and you begin to drink in of the milk of God's Word. And as time goes on, you grow and you get teeth and you're able to eat the meat of God's Word. And these are all scriptural analogies that I'm giving you. This is what the Bible teaches, to be born again, to know God, to drink in of the things of God, to hunger for God and to be changed. And so James says to you and I, he says to us that the implanted Word, which is able to save the soul, speaks of change. Peter here says that it's living forever. It's powerful. It's the Word of God. Brothers and sisters, focus in on this in James. Turn back there if you would. Focus in on this one word, if you would, with me at the end of verse 21. And that is the word able to save the soul. That word able. God's Word is able. I like that word. I don't know if it's just me, but I really like the word able. It just speaks of power. It speaks of ability. I think I like it because I don't have it. I'm not able, God. God, I can't do it. How many times have I cried that out? Lord, I don't know how. I can remember the day I got born again. I said that. Lord, I can't, but I believe You are. I love one of my most favorite verses in all the Bible. Memorized it as a young believer, been quoting it ever since, hopefully trying to believe in it and live by it, is that which Paul pins to the Ephesian church there in the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, verse 20. Now to Him who is able, because I'm not. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I could ever ask or think, according to His power that's at work in me, to Him be the glory. That verse is powerful. He's able. Oh, and what's He able to do? There's nothing He's not able to do. Can I put it that way? He's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all I could ever ask or think. Now, I could think some great things. I ask a lot. God is the creator of the universe. God, when there was no time, was. When there will be no time, is. God is and was and shall be. He's an eternal God. He's a God who loves us. He's a God who's able. And He says, my Word has the ability to transform your life, to bring about growth. And so you want to receive it with meekness. You want it to be planted in good soil in your heart. You want to take it in. You know, I think one of the most powerful illustrations and testimonies that can be given is the Word of God. The seed, picture it, here's seed, the Word of God, thrown onto the heart of a young child. Over and over and over again. And the fruit that it will bear if you give it long enough. Paul says this to the Corinthians, chapter 3, verse 6. He says, I planted, that seed, I planted, Apollos watered, but God brought the increase. God produced the growth. That's awesome. One plants seed, the Word of God. Another waters the Word of God. But God brings it. God who's able, because His Word's able to save, to sanctify, to grow the soul, to transform the life. It's awesome. And what Matt quoted earlier in his announcements, let me read it to you. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Paul's writing to Timothy and he says, "When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, Timothy, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, I am persuaded is in you also." Later on in the book, there in 2 Timothy chapter 2, or chapter 3, excuse me, verse 15, he says, From childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are, there's our word, able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. I wonder how many of us in here today had the seed of God's Word planted over and over in our hearts, maybe by our grandmother or our mother, like Timothy. And today, maybe it took many and many years, today, there is a harvest being reaped as someone was faithful to plant and another was faithful to water, but God's amazing power and ability caused you to grow. You know, true story of two mothers and two sons. It was in the early 1900s and a woman was born. She grew up a pretty difficult life. Her life was filled with a lot of different trauma. She was married at a very young age, pregnant very early, had children. Husband was a wonderful man. He was killed by a car accident. She then married, they're left with three kids, then married another man, and he was seemingly nice on the outside, but he began to become very verbal, very angry, very abusive. And so she lives a life of a lot of abuse. Very difficult life, very oppressed life. And one of her kids was a little girl who lived in this situation. And as she grew, she watched her dad, her stepdad it was, watched him, you know, be abusive and had a lot of problems with him and really grew up a very damaged person. And her mother, though, was so committed to the Word of God, so committed to Christ. In the midst of her pain, she'd just cry out to the Lord. She would do all she could to be in church. She would do all she could for her kids, though at times she was helpless. And that daughter of hers grew up and moved out of the house. And she went off on her own. She didn't heed the Word of God right away. She went off in the world and did what she wanted. She then met a man. They got married. They had three kids of their own. As her kids were young, the daughter that is, their kids are young, and she realizes, you know what? I need to get right with God. You see, that seed that her mother had planted in her was being watered, and God brought the increase. So here's a mother, three small children. And she begins to say, I need to get right with God. She finds a church. She starts to get plugged in. Her husband seemingly follows. But as time goes on, it's very apparent her husband does not believe in the Lord like she does. What could she do? Here's the man of the house. Here's the one who guides and leads the family. He's not one that's really a believer, though he's going to church at times, but he's really not a believer. And so what happens is that she just faithfully gives the Word of God to her kids. What else could she do? As time goes on, kids get a little older. They're in the early teens. And the husband is discontent in the relationship and he goes out and he commits adultery. And that mother is left with a heap of pain. I mean, she came from a family that was hard enough. Her stepdad was abusive her whole life. She finally, and it seems like now it's happening all over again. And so there she is. Her husband eventually leaves her. And all she has is the Word of God. That's all she's got. Her two sons begin to rebel. Her daughter, in her own way, begins to rebel. And she finds herself back in a place of utter pain, having to deal with the heartache of her husband leaving her, having to deal with the heartache of her sons rebelling, her daughter rebelling. And what is she left with but the Word of God? And so she'd get on her knees and she'd cry out to the Lord. And she would ask God to be faithful to her, to spare her kids as they go out, not knowing what's going to happen to them tonight. What's going to go on in their lives now? And they begin to dabble into, you know, the world, into drugs and alcohol. And pretty soon it was more than dabbling. It was full-fledged of debauchery into the things of the world. And all she had was the Word of God. She continued to pour out the seed. She continued to disperse the seed and give the seed out. And you know, God was able, when it seemed that there was no ability, when it seemed there was no way, when her sons would stand before her and laugh at her Jesus and mock her Christ, she continued to trust Him. And you know, I don't know where you are today, but that's a true story. Because one day, one of those boys, her youngest, gave his life to Jesus Christ. And he stood before his mother and he says, "Mom, I become a Christian." And she just, with utter shock, just disbelief, wondering what this was. For you see, he was so far gone. There was no hope. Oh, but God's Word was able. Because from childhood, he had known the Holy Scriptures. And so he began to walk with the Lord, much to her shock, without her influence anymore, going to churches without her, going and seeking the Lord, reading the Bible on his own, and witnessing to his older brother, and witnessing and witnessing and witnessing to the most vile person ever. Just a wicked guy. I mean, just a horrible, filthy mouth. And eventually, month after month after month of witnessing and sharing, he came to the Lord. He goes to his mother and says, "Mom, I've given my life to Jesus Christ." Now she's just beside herself. Disbelief. And those two begin to witness to their friends and their friends to their friends. And God started Calvary Chapel Saving Grace. And I'm so thankful today, Mom, for all that you gave to us. Happy Mother's Day. You are an awesome mother. You know, amen. Amen. I know I've embarrassed my mom now and made her cry, but I share that story with you because it's life. It was my life. And I watched, now being a parent, having four kids of my own, understanding a lot more about life, obviously, being a pastor for many years now, watching people's lives be destroyed, the same patterns, the same pain, the kids rebelling, watching what kids do, and thinking that was me, but 10 times worse. And just to know that my mom just simply said, "I don't know how to handle them. I don't know what to do with them." Imagine, you know, your son's like, you know, I don't remember. She could tell you the story better, but, you know, 13, 14 years old, and you walk in his room and he's, you know, tattooing himself with a homemade tattoo machine that he made. And that's your little precious boy. I mean, that little beautiful skin, and it's just, you know, what? And there's nothing you can do. Next thing you know, he's got this big old mohawk and he's, you know, rebelling, and there's his brother that's got long hair, and now they're selling drugs out of their house. And so, you know, my poor mom, one time she had to work. She worked at the juvenile hall. That was her job. And there I was, you know, in the substation there off of, over there by the junior high, and in handcuffs. And the officer said, "So where's your mom?" I said, "She's at work." "Where does she work?" I said, "She works at the juvenile hall." He says, "Well, we'll visit her tonight." The calls she had to get, the things that she went through, the trauma, the torture, the pain. But I'll tell you what. When I would see my mom's Bible, I would see my name in it all the time with prayers. And she would be relentless to give me God's word. I mean, confront me with the gospel, like, and poor thing, because she just got a just devil behind her. When she, the devil came out of me and just went off on her. But you know what? That word lives and abides forever. You know, when I was out doing drugs, when I was out doing my thing, the Holy Spirit was there. My mom couldn't be there. The Holy Spirit was there. The Word of God was planted in my heart, and it was there, and there was conviction, and I knew I had to get right with the Lord. And you know, there's no way you would have known that in those days. Oh, that guy wants to get right with the Lord. No way! But you know what? I think of Timothy. You know, my grandmother, my mom's mom, what an example she was to me. And today she's gone home and she's with the Lord. She died at a very early age. She died because probably a lot of abuse physically upon her life. But there's one thing that she would continually talk to me about, and that is Jesus Christ. And she had such a simple faith. And right when I got saved, she was on her deathbed, and she was able to see my brother and I come to Christ, and for me to be able to pray with her and worship God with her. I think of Timothy and his grandmother and his mother, and from childhood he knew the Holy Scriptures. And you know, maybe you're a single mom today. Maybe, you know, you live amongst an unequally yoked relationship, you know, and you just feel like it's hopeless. Maybe you've got a child that's older and that's rebellious, younger than rebellious, and you just feel like, what do I do? I'll tell you what you do. You first be a person that receives God's word with meekness, because God's word has ability to get you through. God's word has ability to change you. Secondly, you be a woman of faith. And you know that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ever ask or think. What an amazing miracle my life is. Glory be to the living God, because I am just a mess, but God is able. Church, wherever you might be right now, God is there with you. You've got to know that. Wherever your kids might be that you're praying for, God is there with them. You must trust the Lord and just do what you know is right. Trust Him. You know, there's little things through my life that just radically spoke to me, that God used to reveal Himself to me. One of those things, and I'll close here in a second, one of those things was, I'll never forget, when I was in rebellion, my brother, my sister, none of us had really wanted to do anything to do with Christ and the church. My mom was single at that time. My dad had left. We didn't have any money. And I grew up eating spaghetti a lot. I hate it now because of it. But I grew up eating really noodles and tomato sauce. I thought at that time that's what was spaghetti. I never knew there was actually beef that was put in it at times, because we just didn't have anything. And you know, my mom would just do what she had. She worked hard. She did what she could do. She trusted the Lord. And I'll never forget that evening. We were doing what we normally did. We sat around. We had family time in our lives. You know, my mom was a stickler on, you know, this is dinner time. Your friends are not allowed over. The phone is not answered. And the door is not answered. Tell your friends between such and such an hour, they are not welcome here. We are having family time. It would be the only time she could actually get us, because she knew we had to eat. And we like to eat. The meal was set. We were there. We prayed as we normally did. My mom led us in prayer. And God, thank you so much for our spaghetti. Thank you, God. We just pray that you would continue to provide for our family. And Lord, we just ask that maybe you would give us some bread that we could eat our spaghetti with. I'm not making up some preacher story. I'm telling you my life. And I'm bearing my heart to you. I hope everyone understands that. And when she said amen, we heard this. This time we answered the door. And as we opened the door, there was just, our whole porch was filled with grocery bags. Some Christian, it's on their heart, knowing we're struggling, from the church. And they brought us over these grocery bags. You know, laid them there, knocked, ran. And out of that, one of the grocery bags that was right in front, it's just a big loaf of French bread just sticking out of the top. And you know, and as a rebellious child, I just said, there's got to be a God in heaven. I mean, I was there. She just prayed that dumb prayer. Give us bread. Give me a break. We got what we got. Eat it. But that's the kind of simple faith that I grew up with. That I cannot tell you what's carried me through the calling that God has on my life and the things that I've experienced in the ministry and the simple faith that I've needed just to make it through the next day and to give God thanks for whatever He's given me. Brothers and sisters, God is here. God is real. His word is more important than I could ever express to you. And mothers, on Mother's Day, you've got, if you feel like, well, that's a horrible Mother's Day. You know, my this and that, and you know, it's almost like Mother's Day prepares us for, you know, for just sorrow because, well, it's supposed to be my day. They don't love me. And God does. And there's one thing you've got that no one can take away from you. It's God's word. And you're a sower. And you need to sow that word and you need to water it by prayer. And you need to wait like a farmer, patiently and wait. And keep doing it. Keep sowing. Don't ever quit. Keep dispensing the word of God. Keep doing it with that love and that way that only mom could do. Keep giving it out. And keep praying and praying and trusting. And you worship God. Because you worship Him for what you can't see now that He's going to do. And by faith, you see it and you know He's able and you know He's going to and you trust Him. And for you that have little ones, don't waste a day. Feed and sow their gardens with God's word that they might grow up and be like Timothy, who from childhood knew the Holy Scriptures. I pray God would so meet you and so minister you. Moms, God bless you. And the Lord is just, He's got something special for you. And I know we're all in different places. Pour out your heart before Him. Church, let's open up ourselves and say, God, let's pick these weeds out. Let's prepare this soil and let's plant some seed. And let's see what God's able to do.